Coming up on this episode of HTNR, a famous director officially announces his retirement. THX launches its new interconnect HDMI 2.1 cables. We take a look at two new affordable Pioneer AVRs. Macintosh and Bryston both release new high-end gear. Samsung throws a curveball at potential OLED buyers. We search for something exciting to talk about with our film and TV time machine. And of course, we dig into disc numbers, reviews, and recommended deals of the week. Hello, home theater fans, and happy Monday. My name is Todd with the Home Theater Forum at avnirvana.com, coming to you from the Baltimore, Washington metro area, just outside of the nation's capital. You can watch this podcast on our YouTube channel or listen to it on Spotify and iTunes. Please like and follow us, leave us a review if you have a few moments, and of course, come hang out in our home theater community at avnirvana.com. Today is March 28th, 2024, and let's just be honest for a moment here. This might be the best week of 2024. Tomorrow, it's the official start of spring, and with that comes beautiful weather, and we have already had a taste of that here in the DC area. And then a few days later, March Madness is kicking off. That's right. Tournament starts this coming Thursday, and who doesn't like March Madness? And then roughly 10 days later, we have opening day of Major League Baseball, which unfortunately for me, that kind of spells the end of me spending a lot of time watching movies, as baseball really reigns supreme in my heart. And you'd better believe we'll be at Oriole Park at Camden Yards enjoying some Polish sausages and getting locked in for the next 162 games. That will be next Thursday afternoon. I think start time is around 3 o'clock. So really looking forward to that. Okay, enough of that. Let's hop in to the time machine. Now, unfortunately, this day in history isn't quite as exciting as some of our past episodes. Let's see what we have on the list here. Zsa Gabor, back on March 18th, 1994, filed for bankruptcy, which, you know, really isn't all that interesting when it comes to her. What's really more interesting, she was married 6 times. She spent 3 days in jail for slapping a Beverly Hills cop. See what I did there? And she lived 99 years, so she had quite the long life. Okay, back in 2005, Disney's The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody premiered. And now that is a show that was unfortunately really popular with my own kids, which means it was frequently on in our home. Just 100 years ago, if you want to go way, way back in the time machine, a highly regarded silent film called The Thief of Baghdad was released. And this is probably a film that nobody has heard of that's listening to this podcast, unless you're a really hardcore cinephile. But if you're curious to check it out, I'll drop a link down in the description to a YouTube video where you can actually watch the film. It runs over 2 hours long. I watched about 10 minutes of it. It's interesting from a historical perspective, but I don't think I could make it through the entire thing. But if you're curious, you can go check it out. Now, really, the most interesting and impactful happening takes us back to 1985, when Capital Cities Communication acquired American Broadcast Companies, or ABC, for $3.5 billion. That marked the first transfer of ownership of a TV network in history. Now, I've done some research on this, and at the time, ABC had 214 affiliate stations, and at one time, it had been considered to be the strongest of the three major networks in the United States. And you might remember a little show called Dynasty. Well, that was still running. And the network had exclusive rights to the 1984 Summer Olympic Games. Now, to get ABC, Capital Cities paid ABC stockholders $118 a share in cash plus warrants to buy Capital Cities stock at a set price. And at the time of the announcement, ABC stock was valued at $74 a share. It quickly rose that day to $105 a share. The New York Times questioned the reasoning behind the deal because ABC was four times the size of Capital Cities. It was thought that the company was starstruck by the idea of gaining entry into, and I quote, the glamorous and powerful world of network broadcasting. How times have changed. Times also said that Ted Turner, owner of TBS, was rumored to have an interest in buying CBS, which actually proved to be true. Just about a month later, Ted made a $3 billion bid, but ultimately fell short, and he ended up settling for a film studio purchase. That was MGM United Artists, which cost him $1.5 billion. And that's an entirely different story unto itself, but an interesting one. So I suggest taking some time and digging through the internet to see what ultimately happened with that deal and those studios. Okay, now it's time to turn our attention back to the latest news in the world of home theater, and we'll kick things off by quickly drawing your attention to the world of film, where director Peter Weir has confirmed that he is officially retired. He is the famed director known for such classics as Witness, Dead Poets Society, The Truman Show, one of my favorite demo movies, Master and Commander. He's 79 years old. At a recent film festival in Paris, Weir said he stopped directing, and I quote, because quite simply, I have no more energy. Sad to see him go, but thankful for the amazing films he gave us. This past week, THX officially launched its new line of HDMI 2.1 cables. They're designed in coordination with Pixelgen, who manufactures its own high-end HDMI cables. Now, these new THX interconnect cables come in a variety of lengths, ranging from 0.5 meters up to 15 meters, which translates roughly to a foot and a half, up to about 49 feet for those of you living here in the United States, with the shorter lengths being all copper and the longer lengths offering pixel glass hybrid fiber copper technology. Now, I actually had a chance to see some pre-production samples in person back at Cedia 2023. You can find a video of my interview with Stephen P. Martz of THX over on our YouTube channel. But something to note about these cables, they offer diameters that are super small and flexible, which should play well to those with more complex installations. Pricing runs from $39 up to $399. And just to clarify, these are not officially THX certified cables, but they do have the Ultra HDMI certification stamp of approval. Now, THX has jumped into the conversation that was being had about this over on Twitter. And to quote them, they say they're built to THX certification standards, but we reserve the THX certified brand for customer products. Pioneer has launched two new AV receivers. These are squarely locked into the budget end of things, with the VSX 535 landing at $379 and the VSX 835 costing $499. And both of those are currently on sale for about $20 off over at Amazon. I'll drop links in the description and show notes. The 835 is a 7.2 channel receiver capable of running a 5.1.2 Atmos setup, where you have five multi-channels. That would be your left, center, and right channels in the front, two surround channels, one sub out, and two Atmos channels, with compatibility with Atmos, DTS:X, IMAX enhanced, and associated upmixing technologies. The 535 drops output down to 5.2 channels, but can be run in a 3.1.2 Atmos configuration. So again, that's your front channels, the left, right, and center channels, along with a sub out and two Atmos channels that you can either have as upfiring modules, or you can mount them up in the ceiling just to get a more dispersed effect in the front end of your room. I think both of these will play quite well for gamers, as they offer HDMI 2.1 compatibility, all of the gaming friendly functions that come along with it, along with 8K video pass through. So anyone out there looking to dip their toes into the world of HDMI 2.1 without blowing up the wallet, or if you're just looking to run a smaller home theater or media system, both of these receivers appear to have a lot to offer. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Macintosh launched two new preamps. The new C55 is a solid state preamp, and the C2800 is a vacuum tube preamp. Both land at 9K. Of course, they sport iconic Macintosh design elements. Both models are just absolutely gorgeous. And the C2800 ups the ante a bit with a topside window that allows you to see its glowing vacuum tubes. Features include 16 inputs, that would be 9 analog and 7 digital, and a home theater pass-through option so they can be integrated into a home theater system. They also carry 3 sets of balanced and unbalanced outputs, allowing for biamping configurations and a tailored listening experience. Definitely head over to our homepage and check them out. We have an article with all the details and several pictures to quench your high-end audio thirst. Samsung has kicked up controversy by revealing that it's planning to use both WOLED and QD OLED panels for its second tier and most popular OLED TV series, that's the SD90, this year. Samsung Display's QD OLED panel has been a game changer for several years, outperforming what had been the industry standard WOLED panel designed and manufactured by rival LG Display. Before the arrival of QD OLED, which stands for Quantum Dot Organic Light Emitting Diode, LG's WOLED was featured on the best OLED TVs on the market, but QD OLED's advanced color capabilities were quickly adopted by Sony and Samsung for flagship models, winning performance awards and forcing WOLED technology to mid and lower tier TVs. Earlier this year, Samsung announced a new agreement with LG Display to source WOLED panels for what was assumed to be its entry-level OLED models. A common sentiment among industry experts, including our own coverage over at AV Nirvana, was that Samsung would exclusively use its QD OLED panels on flagship TVs and second-tier offerings. Now, a South Korean technology site called The Elec is saying that's not the case, and we'll see both panel types on S90D TVs. And the kicker is, and this is where the controversy is brewing, you as the consumer won't know which panel you're getting. And to further muddy the waters, Samsung is reportedly shifting away from advertising QD OLED panels altogether, which is, from my perspective, entirely confusing because these QD OLED panels were kind of their shining star. Now, a lot of this may have to do with an agreement that they have with LG Display and those WOLED panels. Now, for you, my friendly listeners, my recommendation isn't to avoid this TV model range. In fact, it's the opposite. If it's on your radar, just contact Robert Zone at Value Electronics. Robert hopped into our news thread about this story and said, and I quote, "In person and on our website, we always disclose all details and variations of each TV model and screen size. For example, Samsung's current 2023 83-inch S90C uses LG Display's WRGB OLED panel. All other S90C screen sizes have Samsung Display's QD OLED panel. When we receive our first shipment of Samsung's 2024 S90D, I'll stop back in here to post all of the details." So he's indicating that they're actually going to have a decent idea of which panel type is in their stock. And to make this story really short, just use a knowledgeable retailer like Robert, and he'll make sure you know exactly what you're going to get. And if you're a first-time listener, just know that we're big fans of Robert and his Value Electronics outfit. They are my personal go-to source for purchasing home theater gear, and I highly suggest you give them a look. They're a great family-run business. Can Jam took place last weekend, and one of the new product launches to happen there came from the Mezi Audio Camp. They announced the release of the Lyric second generation headphone, that's LIRIC second gen headphone, an update to its Lyric line of closed back headphones. Lots of changes have been made due to user feedback, and boy, do these headphones look absolutely amazing. They utilize a re-engineered planar magnetic technology developed in partnership with Renario that they say delivers a sound experience comparable to the company's Apurion and Elite models while being suitable for everyday use. The drivers are hand-assembled and tested in Renario's Ukrainian workshops. The Lyric 2 costs $2,000. We have lots more information and links in an article that currently resides on our homepage. Bryston has launched a new stereo amp called the BI-2000. That's an amalgamation of its BP-19 preamp and the 3B cubed power amplifier. It's both of those units combined into a single chassis. It offers 200 watts per channel of power and a variety of balanced and single-ended inputs. It can be customized with one of five different faceplate covers, which include black, silver, gray, white, and champagne. And white, to me, is a really interesting color option, and I'd love to see what it looks like in person. Unfortunately, the company's PR materials have color chips that don't seem to align with an actual picture of the unit that they provided, so it's hard to tell if the white is more of a white goldish off-white color or something more along the lines of a snow white. Pricing lands the BI-2000 at $8,500 with a $1,000 upgrade option for moving magnetic phono stage. And our last news story of the week, Roku has found itself dealing with some controversy. The company has disabled TVs and streaming devices unless users agree to new terms, which include an arbitration clause that prohibits owners from suing or participating in a lawsuit against Roku. If you don't agree, you have to send a letter to Roku's general counsel in San Jose, California. Otherwise, your unit will basically be disabled, you know, unless you agree. Something you might want to take into consideration if you're thinking about purchasing a Roku device. For more industry news or to talk shop about any of these news stories, head over to our forum. Alrighty, shifting gears to movies and AV Nirvana's own disc critic extraordinaire, Michael Scott. His latest 4K disc reviews include the collector's edition of the animated film Migration, along with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, and a musical adaptation of the film Color Purple. Again, those are all 4K releases. He also reviewed the Japanese action film 1% Warrior on Blu-ray. All four of these film reviews are featured on our forum's homepage, so go check them out and let the community know what you think. On to our recent disc sales numbers, and DVD sales have continued to have a solid grip on the market, accounting for 60% of sales. 4K discs are accounting for just 11.5%. And folks, we are almost 3 months into the year, and 4K disc sales are struggling as compared to last year. Hopefully, several big releases expected later this year will help to compensate for a rather stale beginning to 2024 for the format. We are seeing a big shift in titles sitting atop disc sales for data through the week ending March 2nd. Wonka has the top spot, followed by Migration, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, The Marvels, and Oppenheimer, who's hanging in there at number five. Dune Part 1 is hanging around that top five territory in the number six slot, and it's important to note not a single one of the top five has 4K versions of the disc, accounting for more than 30% of sales. In the world of streaming, Poor Things tops the charts, according to JustWatch.com. Number two is American Fiction, and the top five is rounded out by Oppenheimer, Dune Part 1, The Holdovers, and Barbie. Boy, that has slipped off the top 10 list in this category, and for discs too, where it's fallen to number 19 on the charts, sitting just behind Paw Patrol, Aquapups. Kaleidoscape has Madame Web and Driveaway Dolls in its store ready for purchase. They also have reinstated Catherine Bigelow's cult classic Point Break into their library. Unfortunately, that is not the new 4K version, just the standard HD version. You might recall that Shout Factory re-released a 4K collector's edition of the film late last year, and hopefully that will eventually find its way to the Kscape system. Lots of titles are on sale in the Kscape store, including a massive allotment of Academy Award winners and special pricing on Barbie and Wonka. So if you're curious to see these titles and their prices, go over to the movie section of kaleidoscape.com. Now for our disc deals of the week. The four film Matrix series in 4K released as the, what they're calling the Deja Vu collection, is on sale right now for $42.99 on Amazon. You can pre-order Dune Part 2 in 4K, and right now that's 25% off, or just $29.96. So if you want to line that one up so it arrives on your doorstep on launch day, you better get on that. And my top deal of the week is the film Free Guy in 4K for just $14.99, and that is a banger of a film if you're looking for fun home theater demo material. That is loaded with some really powerful low end. So if it's not in your home theater lineup, definitely go and buy that one. $14.99, it's really hard to beat. Links to all of those are down in the description and show notes. For our featured gear deals of the week, let's run with the March Madness theme and look at two big screen TVs that you could land in your home with some savings. Right now, you can score LG's 2023 C3 65-inch OLED Evo for $15.96. That's a model that normally retails for $2,000. And if you want to up the ante in the size department, the LG C3 77-inch OLED Evo is just $2,296, giving you big time savings over its normal price of $3,499. If you're looking to watch your team win with exceptional clarity and image quality, you really can't lose out with an OLED TV. And both of those models give you quite a bit of savings. Links are right down in the description. And before we go, let me just mention two new reviews are live on our YouTube page. Head over to learn about Clear Audio's Arc 2 Sport earbuds. That's a review that I published. I've been using these for months upon months. I absolutely love them. I think they are the best athletic earbud I have ever tried out. They're great on so many levels. So definitely go check that review out. Also, Travis Ballstadt takes us on a review of the Unfolded Circle Remote 2 Plus Home Assistant, which he says is more than just a Harmony remote replacement, but an affordable replacement for Control 4. Sounds really interesting, right? That video has been red hot over the last 24 hours. It's getting lots of attention, and Travis has a thread about the Circle Remote 2 over on our forum at avnirvana.com. So check it out and then jump over to the forum and chat them up. All right, friends, that is a wrap for the week beginning March 18th, 2024. Please be kind to each other out there. Enjoy the kickoff of March Madness. And I will see you next week. If not before then, I'll see you over on the forum at avnirvana.com.